This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Anita Rao. The inventor of gross domestic product warned that the metric should not be used to measure welfare. Yet despite those warnings, the single number has dominated policy recommendations for nearly 80 years. In its most simple form, GDP is the number you get when you add together the dollars spent by consumers, investors, and the government. So in a recession, people and businesses aren't spending as much and GDP goes down. To get us out of a recession, governments try to fire up the economy with a stimulus, encouraging all of us to buy more. GDP is all about how much money is circulating. But that certainly isn't the whole story. A recent report highlights the ways that a single number oversimplifies the economy and leads us to prioritizing spending over health and happiness. Economic Well-being in North Carolina is a granular look at the contributions and costs that GDP fails to take into account. The report was authored by Juhi Modi with the support of Gross National Happiness USA. Juhi is an undergraduate student at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and joins me now. Hey, Juhi, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
So we've been using, as I said in the intro, GDP to guide domestic and international policy for almost 100 years, almost 80 years. How has that number shaped the kind of economy that we're living in?
Yeah, so the use of GDP to inform our policy decisions, budget decisions, definitely impacts the way that we take action. So if we're measuring GDP, we're more inclined to focus solely on economic growth and also ignore the negative effects of doing so. And that's where this measurement of well-being, like you mentioned, specifically the Genuine Progress Indicator or the GPI, comes in to kind of account for the ways that well-being should be informing our policy decisions.
So what are the specific things that GPI takes into its calculation that GDP doesn't?
So like you mentioned, the GDP has four purely economic components that measure consumption, investment, government spending, and net exports. On the flip side, the GPI has 26 indicators. So this includes economic indicators as well as environmental and social costs and benefits. Socially, we inaccurately see the GDP as a measure of well-being, but it doesn't measure things like non-market activity, such as housework and volunteering, nor does it account for the costs of economic growth, such as environmental degradation, or income, racial, or gender inequality. And the GPI takes all of that into account.
So it takes into account these three broad categories of economic, environmental, and social indicators. And your report does a really beautiful job of showing precisely how this is done. But how would you explain how these really abstract benefits and costs, like land loss, for example, or change in wetland farmland, how do you calculate the specific dollar cost to those?
So there's a specific methodology that was developed in 1995 when the GPI itself was developed. And I follow this methodology in my report to ensure comparability with North Carolina across other states that have also calculated the GPI. In terms of quantification of these abstract concepts, we look to research that has done work on quantifying these things. So for farmland loss, for example, which is a large cost to North Carolina, we're actually the second most threatened state in the country in terms of farmland loss since 1950. So for that indicator, we specifically look at the area of farmland loss since 1950, using that as our baseline, and then the value per acre of farmland. And we take this from different sources and kind of aggregate it to form this quantification.
So what do you learn about the health of North Carolina's environment through this GPI calculation?
So in terms of the environmental indicators, there are 9 indicators out of the total 26. The largest cost to North Carolina's economy are the depletion of non-renewable energy resources and farmland loss. So non-renewable energy resources are ones such as coal, petroleum, natural gas. These are not sustainable in the long term, and so they incur cost, and GPI takes that cost into account. North Carolina's natural gas consumption in 2018 was 1.5 times higher than that in 2005. And as such, that has created a large cost on our economy. In addition, like I mentioned before, farmland loss has a really big impact on the GPI and a negative effect on our economy. Farmlands are important for a lot of different reasons, some of which are sustainable food production, wildlife preservation, preventing floods, and so on. And so North Carolina, again, is the second most threatened state in the country. In terms of farmland loss, we have lost 10.9 million acres of farmland since 1950. And this, when calculated in the GPI, shows that it's something that we need to take into account when we're analyzing our policies and creating our budgets.
So by not just looking at purely the dollars that exchange hands, we also can illuminate a lot about social costs incurred from economic downturns and various things that have happened to North Carolina in this period you looked at, 2005 to 2018. So talk about some of these social indicators and what you learned from looking at those through this GPI calculation.
So there are 10 social indicators out of the total of 26. To just highlight a few, the largest benefits or indicators that add value to the GPI are housework and parenting and higher education. So in terms of these two indicators, higher education has a lot of personal and societal benefits that are not included in the GPI, the GDP, sorry. And in terms of some trends over these years, the number of people with higher education has increased by more than 65% since 2005. And as such, the societal and personal benefits have really increased over the years. Housework and parenting, if we pay someone to do housework or care work, that is included in the GDP, but if we do it ourselves, it's not included in the GDP. So there's a devaluation of family labor that we try to value in the GPI. The value of housework and parenting peaked during the 2008 recession as families were turning inwards and trying to save more.
I mean, and what you said has been so underscored by all of the recent analysis looking at women just leaving the workforce because they disproportionately take on that unpaid household labor that's not accounted for in the GDP. So thinking about all of this analysis, kind of moving forward and comparing what you learned from GDP analysis in this period to GPI analysis in this period, what are your biggest takeaways in terms of what North Carolina should learn about its economic well-being during that period that you learned that were maybe obscured by just looking at GDP data?
Yeah, so it's definitely important to take into consideration these costs, but also these benefits. It's important to value things that have traditionally been devalued, such as housework and these roles that have historically been gendered, and women's roles have obviously been devalued historically. There are a lot of important takeaways. One that was particularly striking to me was looking at the indicator of income inequality. So research shows that income inequality hurts the economy in various ways, one of which is by increasing vulnerability to economic crises. So income inequality has been on the rise in North Carolina and the U.S. for the past several decades in particular. There was actually a sharp increase in 2007, right before the Great Recession started, and again in 2011. And this just shows that it's very important to take this into consideration when we're responding to economic crises, when we're deciding how to take action. It's important to take these kinds of indicators that you wouldn't see traditionally in the GDP.
So we're in this devastating financial moment right now. We're waiting on Congress to pass another relief bill. Millions of Americans are out of work and struggling, potentially going to lose benefits at the end of this month. What lessons do you think a GPI analysis can do to inform policy recommendations right now that maybe a GDP analysis wouldn't?
Yeah, so one thing that really stood out to me over the process of this study is what we measure affects what we do in terms of policies and budget decisions. So if we measure the wrong thing, we're going to be prioritizing the wrong thing likely. like I mentioned before, with GDP, it has greatly informed the way that we go about things. And especially in economic crises, it's important to look at what really matters to people. If we care about well-being and we want to enhance it, then we need to start tracking it. And well-being measurement, specifically through the GPI, it gives us data to guide more sustainable progress and additionally incentivizes programs that may not be immediately profitable, but surely important for the long term.
Could you leave us with a few specific North Carolina policy recommendations that you have from your analysis?
Yeah, absolutely. So going back to income inequality, if we want to address this growing issue, there's several recommendations that other scholars have been discussing for years, such as restoring North Carolina's earned income tax credit, establishing a more progressive statewide income tax system, establishing an estate tax in North Carolina, as well as increasing the minimum wage. In terms of farmland loss, which again is a very high cost, according to a report by the Farmland Information Center, it's most effective to establish multiple policies and link these together. Some specific ones for North Carolina are strengthening land use planning policies, expanding state leasing programs so that a new generation of farmers and ranchers can have this land be made available to them, and just making these programs more protective and just really prioritizing them.
Juhi Modi is an undergraduate student at UNC Chapel Hill and the author of a recent report entitled Economic Well-Being in North Carolina. Juhi, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much.
You can find a link to that report at our website, stateofthings.org. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.